Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Deborah Norville of Exposed with Deborah Norville. Ms. Norville is an Emmy Award-winning journalist, best known for hosting the Today Show on NBC and anchoring the CBS Sunday Evening News and Inside Edition. Over the next segment, Deborah Norville will talk about how and why certain public figures fall from grace on her new series, Exposed with Deborah Norville, which airs Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on Reels. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to expose yourself, feel free to engage in a cover-up as we remove our falsehood in the past in order to reveal our true selves in the present. Deborah, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Now, Deborah, tell us what your new show is all about.
Well, it's a deep dive into some of the headline-making stories that are connected to Hollywood. The Reels cable channel is one that sort of, its bread and butter is all about Hollywood and celebrity and entertainment. And Exposed is an hour-long deep dive into some of the bigger stories. And we'll be looking at the Bill Cosby scandal. It's one of my frustrations. You know, my day job is Inside Edition, and it's great, but we cover everything, but we don't have enough time, in my opinion, to go into everything that we know. And so this is a real chance to get deep into this story. And I thought I knew the Cosby saga because I've been reporting it ever since it made headlines a couple of years ago. I learned so much. And the thing that impressed me the most or stuck with me the most was just how big a burden the women who call themselves survivors of Bill Cosby have been carrying. I interviewed one woman who says she was assaulted more than 20 years ago. She was an actor on The Cosby Show. And after the incident took place, she actually had to go appear on the show. So you want to talk about being a great actor.
Right.
And I asked her in the interview, I said, can you tell me, please, what happened? You know, she agreed to the interview. She knew the question was coming. She still, at that moment when she began to answer, she grabs her temple. She winced in pain. She sort of hunched over a little bit, not quite fetal, but in that direction. And she said, it's not just that emotionally I have to go back there, but I am physically experiencing the assault all over again. And then she started describing in detail that I will spare you what she was physically enduring at that moment. I felt awful as a human being. And as a person trying to understand this story, it was a real eye-opener for me. The impact of what these people have carried was quite clear at that moment.
Now, do these women believe that justice will ultimately be served for them?
Well, for virtually all of the nearly 60 women who have publicly stepped up and said they were assaulted by Bill Cosby, there will be no justice in a court of law because the statute of limitations long since expired. And so for a number of those women, they have channeled their efforts toward changing the law in the state of California. As of January of this year, any person, male or female, who is sexually assaulted or raped in the state of California will have no statute of limitations. In other words, their assailant could be prosecuted 30 years from now if a case can be brought and successfully. So think about it. Monica never threw out the dress. She never had it cleaned. There was evidence. So it is conceivable that this could happen decades later. In terms of real justice, the fact that Cosby is being brought into any criminal court, some of the women I spoke with took that as a certain sense of vindication for themselves personally. And, of course, the trial for Bill Cosby will begin by June 5th. He faces three counts of aggravated criminal sexual assault, each of which carries a 10-year prison term if convicted.
Now, is it still startling to you that certain public figures can lead a double life with really no one suspecting, and they can do it so effectively?
It used to be. Not anymore. I think we can put our heads together and probably come up with a pretty good list of people whose public persona turned out to be quite different from what was later learned about the way they conducted their lives. The fact that it could go on this long is somewhat astonishing. In a future episode of Exposed, we're going to be looking at the Bernie Madoff scandal. That Ponzi scheme probably lasted close to 30 years. It's believed it started in 1987, or maybe more like 1992. It's a little bit, you know, unclear exactly when the first fake statements were created. But, you know, this stuff can go on for a long time, partly because the perpetrator plays on one's natural human reaction to think the better of people we hold in higher esteem. famous people, rich people, attractive people tend to get more of a pass than someone who is unattractive, overweight, unknown, quote-unquote unsuccessful. We're more suspicious of those people, and that's human nature. You can't change that.
In the case of Bernie Madoff, do you think the people around him somehow deluded themselves into believing those investments were real, or were they fully aware of the scam all the way and they simply didn't care?
Well, it's both. There were some people who were well aware of the scam. Some of them ended up going to federal prison as a result of that. There were some investors who were sophisticated enough, and certainly in that category I would put some of the feeder funds, the outside companies that collected investment money from their clients and then funneled that money to Madoff. They did not do their due diligence, and it is astonishing to me, as someone who has really looked into this and reported on this, it is astonishing to me the criminal charges were not brought against any of them, because I would, if I were an investor, I would consider that criminal behavior. But there were also investors, one woman that we interview, very sophisticated woman, whose line of work is litigation that has to do with banks. So this woman understands about financial fraud because it's what she does professionally. Before she invested in Madoff, and it was recommended to her by a family member who was very successful financially. So on that recommendation, she investigated Madoff, and she checked with the SEC. And she saw that, in fact, the SEC had looked into Bernie Madoff several times and found nothing, that he came out clean. And she thought, well, if they've been investigated this many times by the SEC, I can confidently put my money there.
Right.
Unfortunately, the SEC was incompetent, all caps underscored, 36-point font. They were clueless. They sent, you watch the show and you'll see one episode, which we did a recreation just because it was kind of fun to do that, where the examiner, who had come in 2005, the SEC examiner, left his briefcase in a Madoff conference room. Well, Madoff goes into the conference room. They open the briefcase. They see what the examiner is going to want to look at the next day in terms of documents. And for the entire night, they were busy printing and fabricating these documents to the point that they were still hot off the printer. When the SEC agents came back the next day, they had to put them in the refrigerator to cool them down. So they were trying really hard to keep this one under wraps. Curiously enough, one of the people who was part of that SEC investigation later married Shana Madoff, Bernie Madoff's niece,
wow,
who was one of the compliance officers at the Madoff firm.
Wow. So why do you think some people are helped by a particular scandal while others would be destroyed by the same type of scandal?
It's great for notoriety. A future episode of Exposed, we're actually looking at the whole celebrity sex tape business. And people who say, celebrities who say, oh my gosh, I had no idea, that tape shouldn't be out there. The few entities, and there's only a handful of them, and we've interviewed them and we've spoken to them, the entities that traffic in these kinds of tapes absolutely positively will not market them. No one can make a dime on those tapes unless everybody has signed a release. So the celebs who say, I had nothing to do with this. First of all, some of them are so highly produced, you think, you had hair and makeup for 2 hours before
right,
this tape was
exactly.
shot. Some people see this as a great way to make a name for themselves. And let's face it, it works.
And Deborah, where can people find out more about yourself? And
well, they can find out about me at DeborahNorville.com,
yes,
or DNorville, because nobody can spell Deborah right. It all goes to the same place. And you can also find out all about Exposed and what channel Reels is on your cable system if you just go to Reels, R-E-E-L-Z.com, and just down at the bottom, you plunk in your zip code, and I'll tell you where to go.
Deborah, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard
the
TV Time
Machine.
Well,
it was a fun thing for me. Thank you.
Well, feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
On the Time Machine.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin. Aaron
Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time.